Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Outdoor Equestrian Podcast. I'm your host, Remy Kelbel. Today's an exciting day, and I know I say that a lot, but I'm going to interview an equestrian influencer today. Her name is Bethany Lee, and if you don't know her, well, I think you should. She has been the host of the Equestrian Podcast and shares her love for fashion and horses through her blog, My Equestrian Style. But if that doesn't sound like a dream enough for horse girls everywhere, on top of that, she is a Florida horse trainer. She grew up riding at the age of 5 in Wisconsin, surrounded by a family who also loves horses. And to be honest, I don't think that you could get better than that. Because if you love horses as much as I do, man, what a life, guys, I'm telling you. And that's what I thought. This would be the perfect person to interview today. I'm so excited. Let's get started. Bethany, how are you?
Doing well, how are you?
I'm good, thank you so much for doing this.
Yeah, of course.
So, I know you grew up in Wisconsin, and your family was into horses as well. So, you started riding Hunter Jumper at just 5 years of age. And I researched a little bit, and you said you got your first horse at 9 years old. Is that correct?
I believe I was about nine. It was a horse that we kind of all shared with myself and my two sisters. She was an off-the-track thoroughbred chestnut mare. And when my sister is a few years older than me, so she primarily rode her in the beginning until I could kind of handle her spunkiness.
Okay, that sounds like a lot of fun. How often did you train and show when you were younger?
I rode every day. I took as many lessons as I could. I tried to stay after and ask my trainers if there were any extra rides for me, and did a lot of that. I did not show that much. I would say that I probably showed maybe like five times a year or so. And I really only showed locally. I kind of dabbled in some of the rated shows in the area, like in Wisconsin and Illinois and Michigan. Did a little bit in Kentucky, but otherwise it was mostly local and in kind of the summer months, which in the Midwest is pretty short.
That's very fun. So what kind of background does your family have with horses?
So my mom grew up on a farm. She did 4-H when she was little. She like showed cows and rode horses and did that whole thing. And then my sister, who is 6 years older than me, she started riding really early when she was really young. So I was just kind of always around it. And then for a moment in time, both my mom and my dad and my two sisters and I all rode. So we had a few horses, and my dad would even take like jumping lessons or he'd throw on a Western saddle. So it was, for a minute, it was a whole family affair.
That is so cool. You know, I've grown up riding horses on and off since the age of 4, and I actually have never had my own horse. I've just been near stables, and there was an equestrian team in high school that I was a part of for a while, and so, yeah, I just got lucky with that aspect, but it's been a lot of fun, so.
Yeah, I feel like if you just love it, you kind of figure out the rest.
Yeah, totally. And I feel like we have similar passions because you started the Equestrian Podcast January 2019, is that right? Okay. And I remember listening to your first episode with Noelle Floyd, and it was a magazine, but it's now a masterclass. So listening to your podcast, you seem to be very natural in asking questions and talking to different people. So I was wondering how you prepare for your interviews. You know, not coming from a journalism background, how did you start doing that?
Yeah, you know, I always just enjoyed communicating with different people. When I first got my private training position that I have now, it has provided me lots of different connections with traveling around different top hunter jumper horse shows in the country. So I'm constantly kind of getting into new venues and getting in touch with different people. And so I guess a combination of that and then my role with my equestrian style, I've been able to collaborate with a lot of people within the industry and have met some amazing people. And I feel like we would have conversations maybe outside of our collaboration or our project that we were working on that we found that the rest of the industry didn't really talk that much about, or we're like, oh, I wish that more people would talk about this, or, you know, X, Y, and Z. So that kind of stemmed on wanting to have a space like that. So that's how I started the Equestrian Podcast. And I think it honestly just kind of flowed from there. I had, you know, always had like a dream list of people that I would love to interview. And, you know, those people, of course, you have all those questions, but I honestly don't do a ton of, I want my interviews to be like a casual phone call conversation. So yeah. I really don't script anything unless I have a guest who wants kind of a gist of what I'm going to ask them. But yeah, I think it just over time, I've been able to kind of figure out what works and what flows and what doesn't and, you know, adjust from there.
Yeah, that is so interesting. And so you definitely like being creative, like me.
Yeah, I find that it's fun, and I've always been into horses and always been into creativity and fashion, so I've had a lot of fun kind of combining all of them.
Yeah, so how did you start collaborating when you created My Equestrian Style?
I really started by just, like, kind of pitching myself to people. I didn't have any connections really within the equestrian space. I had taken 4 years off during college and really kind of didn't really know many people within the industry, let alone I had just moved to Florida from California. So I was kind of starting from scratch, and I just, you know, started kind of hunting on Instagram and Facebook at the time. There really weren't many other equestrian influencers. I could find maybe one or two when I started 3.5 years ago. And so I really just found a bunch of brands that I liked their stuff and just, you know, reached out either via Instagram or an email if I could find one, and just started asking as many people as I could. At that time, my husband Ethan and I had been wedding photographers in when we lived in Los Angeles to make extra money, and had that background of professional photography and knew that we could offer that into the industry that was just starting to, you know, come around to the importance of social media. So I really feel like a lot of it was just kind of good timing, and was able to start out, you know, 100%. I was reaching out to brands, and slowly over time grew that way.
Yeah, a lot of hard work, but sounds very fun.
Yeah, it was worth it for sure.
Yeah. So I want to talk a little bit about your college life and then how you went on to become a jewelry stylist, because I thought that was interesting coming from a horse background and then deciding to go on to that career instead. So you said you were in the office all day when you were a jewelry stylist, and that's not something that you wanted to do. So I bet it was kind of scary making that switch to say, okay, this isn't what I want to do anymore. You know, what else is out there within the horse industry? How did you do that?
Yeah, so I had worked out in Los Angeles the summer going into my senior year of college as an intern. For a jewelry company, and really loved the jewelry company, loved my boss, really thought the environment was fun. And then so at the end of the internship, they offered me a full-time position after I graduated. So my husband and I, well, we got married after we graduated and moved out to California. And I worked there for maybe 7 or 8 months, and I was like, you know, kind of a situation, to be perfectly honest, that I was, I think because they had only known me as maybe like an intern, I kind of went back to them full time, ready to like make big waves in their business and like do all of these things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I loved fashion and loved the idea of kind of like climbing that ladder and doing something big in the fashion industry. Mm-hmm. And I just felt that in the time that I was there, that there wasn't any, there wasn't much change from when I first worked there as an intern. I was still kind of lowest on the totem pole. Mm-hmm. And I totally understood that I had to kind of, it's definitely one of those industries where you have to kind of pay your dues and you have to do the grunt work job to mm-hmm. get to the top. And I just didn't feel any like movement, and I had all of these ideas and visions of things that I thought would be really cool. And mm-hmm. I just didn't feel like my voice was heard, and that like I totally, looking back, it makes sense. I mean, I was just this like young kid and coming and wanting to like make big changes. And so I don't know, at the end of the day, it just wasn't a good fit. Mm-hmm. I had a ton of creativity and ideas that I think was just best for me to do something with that creativity on my own. And I just found that I wasn't happy. So talked to my husband, talked to my parents, and they gave me, you know, my parents have been giving me this advice my whole life to not pick a job, you know, based on how successful you will be or mm-hmm. you know, any type of position like that, but just mm-hmm. find something that you really, really love and enjoy. And I, you know, realized that I love fashion, but I really miss being around horses, and it was kind of a shot in the dark. I had never imagined I would be working in the equestrian industry. I knew in the back of my head that I was going to one day like continue riding, but yeah, so it just kind of started from there. I reached out to a bunch of random barns in California and asked them if they needed any help, you know, cleaning stalls or grooming or exercise riding. And maybe like a month or two after searching pretty rigorously, I found an amazing barn that I worked for in Calabasas called Far West Farms. And yeah, worked as an exercise rider and a trainer there and learned so much from that.
Yeah, interesting journey. So I'm kind of similar to you where, you know, I like fashion a lot. I like being creative. So I thought when I went to college, I was like, oh, you know, I could do fashion and that would be fun. But, you know, the horses were always missing, but I wanted to be creative at the same time. So I just fell in love with interviewing people and journalism. And so, you know, I want to be a TV host for an equestrian TV station and hope to interview people within the community. And yeah, I think that would be a lot of fun.
That's so cool. Yeah, I mean, I feel like if you just kind of keep doing what you're doing and making connections, you're gonna, you know, figure out a way to do that for sure.
Yeah, thank you. So I was curious, who is someone you admire within the equestrian industry?
Oh man, there are so many people. I was able to interview one of those people yesterday on the podcast. I'm so excited for an episode to come out later this year, but that would be Laura Kraut. Okay. I grew up with her being a big idol of mine. She also at the same time that I was growing up in Wisconsin, she was working in Wisconsin, and she came to one of my schooling shows, and I remember I was like 9 or 10 and she came and watched me show and had a magazine from like with a picture of her at the Olympics that I had signed. And and the people that I work with, Brendan and Jeffrey, who are my clients' show trainers, are you know her pretty well. And I had a picture that I showed them, and they're like, "We have to send that to Laura." And that kind of like stemmed a whole conversation. And she was coming on the podcast, and it was so fun talking to her. And she's just super humble and kind. And I feel like that's something that I really value within the industry. That role as like a rider and trainer, it can be so tough and draining and cutthroat. And so it was really cool to see, while she has like a ton of drive and she works super hard, that she is just like a really kind person and super inclusive.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting to meet people like that, because I've met a lot of people who, you know, almost think they're better than you because they ride horses or they're, you know, at this level that you're not.
Sure.
And Yeah, it's nice to when people are humble and kind, so definitely. So, what advice do you have in creating a good blog and podcast for other equestrians who might want to do that too?
I would say that if you are passionate about a certain area, whether that is, you know, talking to people on a podcast or coming out with content for other brands for, you know, for style or travel or fitness or anything like that, and kind of make an equestrian spin on it, just make sure that it is, they're really things that you love, because I have been in, you know, phases of my businesses where I have chosen to do something because I thought that's what I needed to do for my business and not because I love doing it. For example, there's so many, like, just, you know, a little facet of business is, you know, social media marketing, and there are so many different social media platforms that you can, you know, reach people and, you know, grow your community in different ways. And I find that if I am spreading myself so thin where I'm trying to be good at a lot of different things, I end up being, like, very adequate at everything and not amazing at any area. So I have found that, you know, love everything that you're doing. And if you don't love it, then maybe it's a question of maybe don't do it, or maybe find someone who is better at it than you, or can, or, you know, enjoys doing it, and maybe consider having them do it for you instead. And I've done things like different outsourcing or having interns join my team, and that's been super fun to see those people learn and grow and do stuff that we're far better than I could do it, and, you know, still have, so kind of move the needle in my business. So that's probably the biggest advice, and something that I have not always been very good at, but I'm continually trying to do better at.
Yeah, great advice. So what do you think is the best advice for those wanting to be horse trainers?
I would say to really not be afraid to talk to different professionals or people that you admire or look up to and ask questions. And that's something that I feel like I've learned a lot from interviewing top trainers on the Equestrian Podcast, is they are almost always like, if you want to learn, like, don't be afraid to just go to a show, to just attend and spectate, and, like, walk up to a trainer and ask them if you could shadow them for a day, or have, if they have time later that day to sit down and, like, answer a couple of questions. And so I think that that's huge. I think that our industry is doing more and more, you know, kind of, like, research and figuring out how to make the role of the trainer a little bit more structured as far as the education process. And so that's exciting to see different organizations offering more education, like US Equestrian and, like, the Noelle Floyd Masterclass and several others where you can continually learn and grow. I think that there's this notion that when you turn professional, that you even, you know, no matter how young you are, there's just kind of this, you know, this stereotype that you have to have everything together and you have to know everything about everything. And that's just not true. It's such a sport where you can be a professional for so long, and that's the unique and wonderful thing about it. And you can, you talk to top professionals who have been professionals for decades, and they will tell you they still have so much to learn. So I think just being real and honest with yourself that you don't know it all, and you are willing to learn from others, I think that will be a great start in, you know, kind of your own training program.
Yeah, and I know I did a little research and looked at interviews with you, and you said that you weren't sure you were going to be a trainer. And that's not something
really
you thought about. Yeah.
Yeah, I started with my job at Far West as an exercise rider. I thought, you know, like when I was deciding I wanted to do something with horses, I'm like, I want to ride, I want to you know, do something like that. Even if it's not on my own business, I want to be able to ride or have, you know, show other people's horses. Like, it was just kind of a one-track mind in the beginning. And my boss, who is so wise and has been in this industry, you know, literally for like 50, 60 years, he had me, you know, just, he just like asked me to trust him and had me start training some of the young beginner riders in the lower riding school program. And they were kids that like literally were touching a horse for the first time, to kids, you know, doing their first little crossroad course. And that was one of the most fulfilling experiences, having all of those little kids and teaching them. I never thought I was going to like that. I never thought that, you know, any type of like teaching or training was going to be in my future, but I definitely found a love for it. And I definitely found that it strengthened my personal riding, to be able to be on the ground watching and kind of pinpointing the areas that could be adjusted to make, you know, a horse go better or a rider go better, and being able to, you know, verbalize those things kind of helped my riding, you know, when I then would go back in the saddle. So there's definitely so many benefits of training, and it's definitely not something that every professional doesn't need to be the best rider and trainer and developer of young horses. And, you know, you don't have to be able to be amazing at all of it, but there is something to be said about training and how it just kind of helps you be a more well-rounded professional.
Definitely. How often do you ride today as a trainer?
Yeah, so I, when I was in California, I was riding like 10 horses a day. Mm-hmm. So I was riding a lot. But now I have, so I'm a private home trainer for a family of two girls.
Okay.
And I am responsible primarily for their lesson horses, their horses that stay at home, because the girls, they're top junior hunter riders, but they are probably one of the only girls that they compete against that actually go to a physical school. And so because of that, they have horses that stay at home that are, you know, there for them to practice here in Jacksonville, Florida. And then their show horses primarily stay with their show trainers, which are Jeffrey Heslink and Brendan Williams. And then what we do is we work really hard at home on their practice horses, and then we travel to shows and we meet the show trainers and the show horses at the show, and then get them prepped, and I kind of join that team over there, and then we go show those horses. So right now we have usually like two or three horses at home that are under my care. So I'm usually riding, you know, a few times a week, those couple of horses, but I'm basically riding them in the beginning of the week. And if there's, you know, just to make sure that they aren't super fresh and are focused for the girls. And then any kind of areas that I want to tweak and adjust, any type of, you know, straightness or any pace issues, or and maybe I've had one that was a little nervous jumping when we first got him. So, you know, always kind of areas that you want to continue to work on. So yeah, I would say I ride significantly less now, but it's more of like a maintenance thing to make sure that mm-hmm. the horses are in a good frame of mind for the girls when they come to lesson.
Yeah, that sounds so fun. And I know that you travel a lot with the horse shows.
Yeah.
What has been some of your favorite horse shows that you've gone to?
One of my favorite is actually coming up here, the Capital Challenge Horse Show.
Okay.
I love it. I love the venue. I love how, it's just kind of that introduction to indoor season, and you have the indoor, arena, but then you still have the outdoor spaces as well. It's usually a really pretty time of the year, to be up in that, you know, kind of DC area. And it just gets me, there's plenty of like prestigious classes you can go into, but you don't have all of the crazy nerves that you get at the like Washington International Horse Show, the Kentucky National, like all of the indoors at the end of the year that we're all just like, you know, screaming and holding each other and trying to keep it together. So, so Capital Challenge is probably my favorite. We have a lot of fun in Wellington. We're there all winter. Mm-hmm. We usually hop back and forth. It's about 4 hours south of us where we live here in Jacksonville. So we'll, the girls will usually ride at home during the week so they can go to school, and then we'll pop down on the weekends and show. And we have a great barn set up there, so the horses really love it down there. I think that those are probably my favorite spots to be.
Yeah, definitely. That is so interesting. Definitely, I think you have a dream job for many, many people.
I have a dream job for myself too. I always have to sit back and really be thankful for what I have. And I think there's definitely in any job, any dream job, there still are, you know, high stress situations and hard things to try to work through. But it definitely makes it worth it. And yeah, I definitely get a good mix of spending time with the girls and spending time with the horses, and being able to be a part of this industry has been such a blessing.
Yeah, and then you're so hardworking too. Has that always been something that's been ingrained in you, or was it something you learned? Or
it's funny because my family kind of makes fun of me that I do a lot, and I think I've always kind of been that way. In school, I wanted to do all of the like sports and clubs and, you know, all the activities, and that's just something that I've always really enjoyed. And then it kind of fit well and worked out well that once I graduated college, the kind of entrepreneur trend was like very popular, and thankfully my husband has similar interests, and so we both kind of went that route. He flips houses and owns rental properties, and it's really nice as we kind of have flexible scheduling, and we can kind of do as much or as little as we want, but what ends up happening is we do a lot.
Yeah.
you want to keep moving the needle in your business, and so you have to, you know, put forth the hours. And it's fun when you can then look back and see kind of what you've created, and the kind of freedom to enjoy your family and loved ones, and kind of have that ability to enjoy life. And I think that I've never been one, and I think that was part of why I also quit the job, the fashion job in LA, is that I'm just not really a 9-to-5 person. So, and being like inside in an office job doing the same thing every day. So I am super thankful that I've been able to create something where, you know, every day is different, whether I'm interviewing, guests on the podcast, or going off-site doing like a photo shoot for my equestrian style, or teaching lessons for the girls, or traveling to horse shows. Usually every day or every week is different, but thankfully in all the areas I really enjoy.
Yeah, that is so cool. And what amazes me too is that you're so young too, and to have all those accomplishments, I mean, that you got to be proud of yourself. That is really cool.
Well, I feel like I'm young. I have a baby face, but I'm kind of creeping up there. I'm getting closer and closer to 30.
Okay, but still, I mean, hey, that is cool. That is great.
Yeah, it's been really fun. Kind of putting all the pieces together, and definitely a lot of help from my husband and from my family, and God's a big part of my life and has made, you know, all of this possible. And so that's been a huge part of my life and my journey as well.
Yeah, definitely. Me too. I have huge faith in God, and I think, you know, sometimes I struggle with God a little bit, but he always, you know, turns out he always has a plan in the end, and it's better than I thought. So
yeah, that's really true. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Bethany. This was really good. And I've been a listener for a long time, so I really appreciate you doing this.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad you enjoy it. I love hearing people who listen to the podcast because, I mean, you probably understand sometimes, in the beginning, you're like, I wonder who's listening to this. So it's yeah. Cool to see it grow and have people who are interested in what you have to say.
Yeah, definitely.
You're doing a great job.
Thank you so much. All right, Bethany, you have a good night.
You too. Thank you.
Yeah, bye. Alright guys, that was my interview with Bethany Lee. That was super fun. I have listened to her podcast for a long time, so it feels like a dream. It's a lot of fun, and I thank you so much for being a part of the Outdoor Equestrian Podcast. This will be the last interview. So, I thank you so much, and I will definitely be a part of the Equestrian TV station someday, and I am so excited. So, thank you for coming along with me in my journey and being a part of the Outdoor Equestrian Podcast.